Yeah, let me comment on that, right? I've spoken to Dennis about this on the radio, and I said that we were between a rock and a hard place, in that we were in the midst of the winter season, which is the most profitable for hoteliers, and we also faced a very threatening situation with COVID. And if I were the person making the decision, I think I would have looked at the fact that we were being warned about a very virulent strain. It was all this in modern technology, you can see it online, that was 8 times as virulent as the previous one, and that it was impacting heavily on the countries from which we all source markets. Okay? So obviously it means that it was coming here. And we had, therefore, two positions to take. We either had to decide, first of all, that welcome stamp is fine. Your person will come for a long time. So therefore, the protocol can indicate to you that you have to spend up to the 12 days or 14 days or whatever to be sure that you don't have it. When you have a tourist coming for a shorter period of time, that is, you know, almost unreasonable, so that you could have determined if you are not...
But you haven't discussed this already with Dennis, as you said?
Yeah, but you made the point just now. You raised the point again just now about why we couldn't have done it. Then you talk about the forces of the hotel sector and so on. So I was just, for those who didn't hear it, I was just going back to strengthen the point that you were making, that you can have impacts on you, right?
On December 23rd, somebody sent me this. They said Canada, Israel, the USA, Jamaica, Grenada, etc., banned all passenger flights from the UK because of the new highly infectious mutating strain of the coronavirus. But the authorities in Barbados said, no problem. Come on in. Barbadians are immune from this virus. This is what the person sent me via WhatsApp.
Okay, I said, David.
Hold on, man. Hold on. I run in the show, not you. Hold on.
Okay, you're glad you went there.
Okay.
No
I forwarded this to a senior person in government who shall remain nameless, because I am not here to embarrass them, but to just show you how far back these concerns were being raised. When I forwarded it, I said, and I added political dynamite. I said that. The person said to me that we were following World Health Organization, PAHO guidance. Our protocols at the airport were our first line of defense against all strains of COVID, that we were doing second tests when the other countries weren't doing so. They went on to say to me that the strain was around from September, so it might have visited our countries already. And then they volunteered to send me World Health Organization guidance that had been issued later. And if the situation changed, then the government of Barbados would act accordingly. Now, it is interesting when you go back to look at something like that. That was on the 23rd of December. That is at the same time when many people were out there complaining that they were seeing stuff in the community that they were uncomfortable about. So that's the background. This is where we are now. And this issue, the big question is, where do we go from here? Are we too late in trying to address this? Will we find ourselves in a situation where it will have to run its course now because of the variant, the extent to which our testing failed us? That has been a major, major reason why we have so many problems right now. I don't see anybody being able to deny that. And I do agree. I really do agree.
I think that they took too long to investigate the variant. That's the first thing.
Where are we now?
I think right now we need to make sure that people follow the protocols. And I think, and there needs to be greater surveillance. I agree with that part. And you need to know, I mean, Barbados is a small country. You need to know the places where people are congregating that are likely to bring this variant.
Look,
you need to know that.
We have community spread in Barbados already. That means when it was first articulated, it wasn't just community spread, it was family spread. Coronavirus is being spread by family and friends. So I believe that's part of the reason why we have this situation here right now where they're seeking to lock down as much as possible for a weekend. I have my reservations about whether that's long enough. I know it's draconian. I know it's tough for people. But at the same time, you got to look at the scale of this problem. This thing is all over Barbados, all over the place. And therefore, that's my assessment. My own assessment is that we are going to see this thing reach its crescendo before it levels out and starts to come back down. And I don't know whether we have reached that particular point yet, but I will wait and see. Everything depends upon the testing and the integrity of the testing.
Yes. Let me make this point now. I think that when something like this happens, we need to examine the people who are leading the process. And let's be real. We have to look and see whether the people in the health services sector, whether they are operating at the highest level of efficiency that they can be, and whether we don't need to have reinforcements by bringing in people who can help them to do the job, replacing some people who have shown that they are totally at sea and handling the problem, or whatever. But it needs to be relooked to get assistance to make sure that decisions that are made that can stand scrutiny, where people are forward-thinking to understand right. These are the things you do and not just reactionary.
We got to go. Okay? Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay. One of the people that I interact with here on these matters is the virologist, Dr. Lauder. He says, we're never too late to stop COVID. It is just that the medicine to get this done is going to be much, much harsher than, let's say, a two-week circuit breaker, than if a two-week circuit breaker was instigated on January 1st. So you see, the key to this is timing. We discussed this before. If you move on COVID at the wrong time, you're going to miss it. And we saw this early in this disease in Italy. There are places that have locked down, but they locked down too late. And that's where the community spread has gripped these communities and made it far more challenging. So they had to go through a major spike, then come back down. I'll wait to see where we go with this. But in the meantime, I still encourage everybody to look at the protocols, try to respect them as much as possible. But I wait to see where all of this takes us. Down to brass tacks.
Hi, good morning. Am I on?
You are.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, David. I have a couple of points I would like to make. First of all, sometimes I get the impression that we have surrendered our independent thinking to organizations like WHO and PAHO, et cetera, and CDC. I recognize that these organizations have resources that can do things that we can't. They provide critical data, and that is appreciated. And I have a scientific background, and even though we constantly repeat the phrase that we follow the science, I find out on many occasions we don't. One of the fundamental pieces of information we were given is the fact that this virus has a 14-day incubation period. And yet we have instituted a number of protocols, et cetera, that have changed over time, but they have not remained consistent with the science. And we say that they have made comments like they have worked. I think we've been lucky, But I think that we have bastardized the science. If you're dealing with a virus with a 14-day incubation period, I can't isolate you or quarantine you for any period less than that and be sure that when you come out that you are COVID-free. But I also understand that, you know, we at times take risk, and we have to take risk. When you leave your house, you take a risk. There's a statistical chance that you will not return home. But we take that risk, and so we deal with 5 days and 7 days. But as long as you are not observing that fundamental piece of science, you are taking a risk. So that anything we put in place must measure up against that. You made a point just now about the potential effectiveness of the two-day weekend total shutdown, whether that will achieve anything. When you match that against the science, it is questionable. When you put a two-week lockdown in place, that is consistent with the science. So I find that sometimes we take from these organizations what we want to take, and we do the other things that we want to do.
You remember that the World Health Organization told us and other countries not to close our borders, and other countries defied them and closed their borders. You remember that?
Yes. And so it shows that we need to take the information, take the guidance, make decisions, and we need to be able to walk and chew gum, because nobody knows everything about this virus. Now, I remember I called this program months ago, and I was trying to impress on the importance of protecting frontline workers. And the then SARS and other people, you know, shot it down, saying that if there were no symptoms, there was no need to test. Mm-hmm. And here we are now, where we have learned since then that the fact that you don't have symptoms does not mean that you have a green card, because we should be treating everyone as though they had COVID. How much more our frontline workers, right?
But they can't even update us on a regular basis about the status of our frontline workers as it relates to COVID. All right? Look, around here, it is not what they tell you, you know. It's what they don't say.
Well, that brings me to my other point. Now, we have a number of vaccines, and I'm not for one or the other. But the reality is that these vaccines have been approved for emergency use. Now, it is easy to make the argument that we are in a state of emergency. That is not debatable. So any risk connected with utilizing a vaccine for emergency use is maybe acceptable. Yeah? But that should tell us something. The path to this vaccine is unlike any other path before. Not only is it a new technology, and there's nothing wrong with new technologies, these vaccines are developed within a year. We have not had that before. So what is it that is not being done now that would have been done before?
So you need to recognize, though, the amount of money that the governments of the United Kingdom and the United States and Russia have put behind the development of these vaccines. They haven't left it up to the companies themselves, and that has made a decisive difference as well.
But one thing that you cannot address with money, David, is time. One of the key trials that go on with these vaccines is one that looks at the impact, not just 15 minutes after or a day after, over time. So in truth and in fact, we do not know, nobody knows what the impact may be 3 months or 6 months down the road. But we are in a state of emergency, so the risk may be acceptable. But I think this is where we need to start to be critical thinkers. Since the risk is unknown, we do not know, we need to right now, don't wait until a year from now when things may come up. Right now, every person that goes to get a vaccine, we should not just be sticking medicine into their arms. And I'm sure it's not just that. But we should have critical information about those people. And we should also be putting something in place to monitor them at week one, week two, maybe then month three, month four or five, and down the road. So that we don't want 6 months from now that we are battling with something that we could not have known 6 months ago. We need to collect the data now. We need
that's
to
one side of it.
Our data
that's
collection
one,
so that we can analyze it and we can monitor. Yeah? So that
I have absolutely no doubt that the data is being collected. A big issue in Barbados is how the data is being protected. That has not been addressed in all of this, huh?
That is a critical side, but I think more importantly, to have that data to allow us to address anyone that has difficulties 8 months from now, we should have been tracking them to know how they got there and not be surprised. Don't let us be caught surprised a year from now. Collect mm-hmm. the data, do the protection, all that you need to do, but monitor every person that takes a vaccine so that maybe we be the ones to tell the world, if they're not doing it, these are the long-term impacts or not. But we need to do that. My final point, David, is, again, it has to do with data. I hear the stats being reported. I hear the excuses about the fact that we've been running backlog, so we're not able to have the current data to be able to see exactly what's going on. But remember, you're dealing with a virus with a 14-day incubation period. So you can't just lie back and say, oh, well, the test took 2 weeks, so we don't know. We need to know. We need to record when those things are swapped. We need to even estimate or guesstimate when the potential contact may have happened so that we can produce ongoing averages that can really inform us, give us current information. Because if we have 300 tomorrow, David, and that causes government to shut us down completely for 30 days, is that justified? Is that a result of what would have happened during the last few days? Or is that a backlash from 3 months ago? Is the behavior still continuing? Or has something changed, but this result in front of us is a result of something? We don't know, but we have data. We can do better. We can deliver a current day status in 24 hours, not be saying, oh, well, a test took 3 weeks. How long the test took should not be impacting your decisions necessarily today. You need to be able statistically and using proper data analysis to produce something that's useful today that you can make decisions on. And don't be guessing, because I don't know why, for example, I mean the real reason why we're shut down for a weekend. Is it that something happened in the last 5 days? Or is it that we're now seeing a result for something that happened 3 weeks before? We don't really know, because we are not analyzing data as best we can, and I think that can be improved. So my 2 points, let's get on to that data and do it right, because if we're following science, this is a part of science, and I think we can do better. Thank you, David.
Well said. There's only one point I want to make in relation to that. I think we have learned through all that has happened that we cannot cheat COVID. We can't cheat the science. This science will outsmart us, and it has already done so. Down to brass tacks, good morning and welcome to the program.
Morning, David. How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
I'm pretty all right. I agree wholeheartedly with your sentiments this morning. And the doctor that made that comment is really trying to insult our intelligence. And that has been the stance of the government from the beginning of this pandemic up until December, when the question was asked about the UK variant, that they have these protocols in place and all of that. To my mind, it comes down to basic common sense. If you've got a variable that you're introducing into an equation that says that this thing is highly contagious, why should you not modify the protocols to suit this variant? Why should you not institute steps to prevent the variant from coming to Barbados in the first place?
Because the business people. Because of the business people who will tell you that if people don't have jobs, they're going to die.
No, but David, That is where the government needed to lead. Say to the business people, look, we are going to close the borders for 2 weeks and monitor the situation, and that is it. Because if people don't have jobs, they can die. What about if the people die and they can't support the businesses? What happens then? Or can you can always rebuild a business. You can't bring back nobody's life. And that's what the government did not impress upon the business people. And actually, at this point in time, they should have said to the business people, look, we need you to put your shoulders to the wheel. You can try to support those who are, you know, who work for you at this time. Help us in that regard where we close the borders so we can monitor this new variant. But what I call you about this, Marlo David, is to say that it is imperative on the government that they should close our borders at this time and try to assess whether those new strains from Brazil, South Africa, the other seven from the USA and all that are here in Barbados. I try to prevent them from coming here. They need to send off the test wherever they need to send it. And let us know, let the public know, take us into their confidence. Let us know what is and what is not. Because another thing too, people are not going to take you seriously, meaning the government, if you keep playing games and talking about you don't want people to panic. Just tell us the truth.
Well, let me ask you something. If I get statistics telling me that, like I saw in the newspaper here today, that Barbados had 190 cases over 2 days. Mm. Let me ask you, what else you could tell me to make me panic?
But I don't understand that.
If that can't make me panic, what will? I don't understand this thing about panic. Look, they are caught between that version, that narrative, and the political narrative. The political narrative is, look what happened to us. Basically, we got to take this blow. That is how I see it. So one person calls it panic. The next person says, I don't want the political fallout. But at the end of the day, outside of those two, then there is you and there is me. There are those of us looking at what is happening. And I'm in a position where I hear a lot. Mm-hmm. I hear a lot of stuff. I don't talk about everything that I hear. All right? Because I believe that the authorities of this country need to be put in a position where there are certain pieces of information that they ought to be sharing with the public. But right. Trust me, don't tell me about panic in circumstances where 190 people can be positive in 2 days. Don't tell me about panic where we can move from where we were in December to over 2,600 cases. And 30, and I am saying not 29. I tell you now, 30 deaths. Okay,
yeah, I'm aware of that one this morning too. But David, the thing about that, right? I wanted them to modify the protocols to suit these new strains that are here. They should talk about things like cloth masks, and you need to have a certain kind of material or double layered. They're not speaking about that. They need to talk about the 3 feet and the 6 feet distance away. That can't work for this highly contagious strain. It can't. And look what they're doing to the people now. Look at the lines around the supermarkets. You really think somebody can social distance in the supermarket? I was in the supermarket line and we were 6 feet apart, but that doesn't have to do with these people who can come in between there and shop and look at, on the shelf because you're in the aisle of the supermarket going toward the cashier because there's so many people lined up to cash. All of that, the government is not taking into account. And look, if you see the pictures of the people at Popular this morning, PriceSmart and Massine, sorry to call the names, but not promoting them. I'm talking about what's happening to my people. I'm concerned about my people. And if you got these highly contagious strains in Barbados, it's a recipe for disaster. You got thousands of people close together.
First of all, sir, it makes it all the more urgent to find out what strains are in the country. You remember how long it took the government to tell us that the UK variant was here?
Too long. And that's what they come over these news press releases. And they never say, well, okay, we send off some more samples. I'm not hearing anybody say that. No. And that's why it's important to close our borders at this time and allow the lab to catch up with the testing, also verify about the other strains, whether they're here or not, and then, more importantly, increase the quarantine, the mandatory quarantine period. If they're going to insist on having tourism running still, nobody should be in my country unless they've been quarantined for 14 days, at least 14 days, mandatory. Whether you're coming to a villa or a normal hotel, and it should be a government-run quarantine facility, because we've seen what happened at villas. People going and self-quarantine on their own time working, that needs to stop immediately. Instead of trying to punish the population, where persons can't even go for a morning walk early in the morning. And exercise is extremely important, not only for your physical, but for your mental health. The government is not listening. I don't know why. And then something has happened to prompt this today, Saturday, Sunday shutdown, complete shutdown. They should let us know. Let us know. Let the public know. And let's forget this thing about panic.
The only thing that could have happened is that they have been looking at the figures and they are seeing the trajectory. That's the only thing that could have happened. There's a trajectory that they are seeing.
But that is not going to stop. And if you got people bunching at a supermarket for the last couple of days, that probably will make it.
Don't forget the post office. Yesterday we were told that they discovered yesterday morning that the people were not only changing the checks, but they were also paying the bills, and that slowed up the process.
Really think that they only knew that? People have been doing that for years. It just they didn't make adequate preparation for it. And what they should have done was probably to extend the hours so that people were lining up from early at 6 o'clock at the post offices. This is kind of panic that we are having in Barbados. And my last point, David, the vaccines, the quote-unquote vaccines, I'm going to say quote-unquote because they don't suit the dictionary definition of vaccine. Dictionary definition of vaccine is either a dead or weak form of the disease that is used to trigger an immune response. What we have is a molecule, a mammal molecule that causes a protein to be produced that attaches to the spikes of the COVID-19 virus, and then you get the immune response. That needs to be explained to the public of Barbados. Persons are not willing to take the vaccines because they're hearing this and that. They need to have the cards laid out. Have it laid out, whether it's a TV program, whether it's in the print media. Explain what this quote-unquote vaccine is that we have. And also say what you said. AstraZeneca is not working well. It has minimal effect on the South Africa variant. And if that is here, tell us all of that. Tell us about which vaccines are working better with the new, more contagious strains. Tell us that you've ordered other vaccines besides the AstraZeneca one. And if persons are skeptical about taking that, then they could wait until the other ones come.
I think there's some good news out of the United States where the Biden administration announced, I think yesterday, that they are in the process of making vaccines available to developing countries. And that would open the door to Pfizer and also to Moderna and whatever else that may emerge. There's also a big, this vaccine thing is a big fight. I mean, I was watching Russia Today overnight. Mm-hmm. And there was there's a big stink going on between the European Union and Russia over their Sputnik V. And apparently the Ursula von der Leyen, she say she doesn't understand how is it that Russia could be giving vaccines to other countries and can't get enough vaccines to its own people, and the Russians are up in arms about this thing. So I mean, there's a lot more to this. The geopolitics of it is something else.
What about Cuba? Cuba is developing one. They want
Cuba is developing their own too. Yes.
Right, so our country, our government needs to be able to tell its citizens, explain fully everything about this vaccine to allay the fears of those who don't want to take it.